we're going to start from Yud Amud Aleph from the fourth line. Okay, so the Gemara says, Hanu Griyone, Dahavu B'Shevavuse Derab Meir, Vahavu Kametzar Leituva. There were these hooligans, whatever, these people who were in Reb Meir's community who were always bothering him. They were, you know, always starting up with him. And the Gemara says, Hava Kabay Reb Meir Rachamei Lavayu, Ki Hechidulei Musu. So Reb Meir davened that they should die. He was, you know, these guys were apparently bothering him a lot. So Amar Le Bruria Tavisu, so his wife Bruria said to him, My daitcha, what's your logic? Mishum dichsev, the pasuk in Tehillim says, Yitamu chatoim, miksev chotim, chatoim ksev, right? In other words, the pasuk in Tehillim says, Yitamu chatoim in aretz, that the sinners should be gone from the land. In other words, it doesn't say that that the sinners should die, but rather that the sins should stop. So in other words, therefore, she's saying, instead of davening that they should die, as we'll see in a second, daven, you know, that they should do tshuva. Va'och tfilah seifei dekra, ureshoim oreinam. And furthermore, once you daven that they stop doing averos, so then by definition they'll no longer be rishayim. So instead of davening they should die, right? The Gemara says, "Ela boy rachma yilavayu tili hadru b'tshuva urishayim odeinam boy rachma yilavayu v'hadru b'tshuva." So that's exactly what happened. Remeir, instead of davening that they should die, instead daven that they should do tshuva. The Marsha has a lot of issues with this Gemara. He says, "How could Bruria suggest to Rabbi Meir that they should daven that to do tshuva? Doesn't that undermine their whole bechira? In other words." The whole point is these guys should have the ability to decide how they want to act. How could you daven for somebody else to do tshuva? It doesn't make any sense. I can daven for someone else to get better. I can daven for someone else to have parnasa. How could I daven for someone else to do tshuva? So one of the achronim, the Me'il Tzedakah, the tshuva says that these people were simply ignorant. It wasn't that they were intentionally trying to, you know, bother a mayor. They were misguided. So the tefillah was that they should be, you know, redirected into the right direction. That was the issue. If the people were intentionally upsetting Reb Meir, then anachanami. The Marsha says then it would not have been appropriate to daven for this. Okay, so the Gemara says Amar la hahut tzeduki leburia ksiv rani akaro lo yolada mishum de lo yolada rani. So exactly. So one of the tzedukim says to Bruria, again the wife of Rabbi Meir, how does this pasuk in Yeshayahu make any sense? Why is then akara? Why is a barren woman rejoicing? So the Gemara says, Amr le shatya, you fool. Shvil a seifi dekar. Look at the last half of the pasuk. Bichsev, ki rabim b'nei shomimam b'nei v'ula amar Hashem. The sons of those who are desolate far outnumber the sons of the b'ula, of the one who's already had relations. Ela maya kara lo yolada rani. Kineses Yisrael shadoma li'isha akara shalo yolada banim l'gehenim kvasaychu. What Bruria said to the Tzeduki, what the pasuk really means is that we're thankful to Hashem that we don't have kids like you who are going to Gehenim. That's what the pasuk means. It's not that we're rejoicing over the fact that we're barren, but rather that we don't have children like the Tzeduki. Amar le'ahu Tzeduki l'Rabbi Avo. K'siv mizmor l'David b'varcho mibnei Avshalom b'no. U'ch'siv l'David michtam b'varcho mibnei Shaul b'me'ara. These are two different psukim from Tehillim. The first one comes from Perek Gimel, the second one from Perek Nun Zayin. The first one describes the incident between David and Avshalom, and the second pasuk describes the incident between David and Shaul. So the Gemara asks, Hey, Maisa Havla Beresha. So which of these incidents occurred first? So Michti, Maisa Shaul Havla Beresha, Lichto Beresha. The incident where Shaul tries killing David happened before Avshalom tried killing David. So why is the story of Avshalom written, you know, 54 prakim earlier? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Atun Delo Drishitun Smuchin Kashiruchu. Ainan Drishitun Smuchin Lo Kashilan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan smuchim in Atorah Minayin shenamer smuchim la adli olam asuyin beemes v'yasher. So Rabbi Avo responded to this tzeduki and said the only reason why you're bothered with this issue is because you don't darshan smuchim. The Gemara Yevamos explains that whenever you have two things that are juxtaposed in the Torah, so oftentimes you can learn a halacha from the fact that these two seemingly arbitrary halachos are next to each other. And the source for that idea is a pasuk from Tehillim that says smuchim la adli olam asuyin beemes v'yasher. That things that are next to each other are going to be understood the MSV Yasher. So in other words, Rabbi Avo responded to this Tzeduki and said, you who don't accept this idea of darshaning smuchim are troubled by the fact that chronologically these two stories are out of order in Tehillim, but we're not bothered by that. Why? Because Lama Nismucha Parshas Avshalom LeFarshas Gogu Mago. Why is the incident of Avshalom in the third parak of Tehillim, why does that follow right after the second parak of Tehillim, which describes the incident of Gogu Mago? She'im Yomar Lecha Adam, for if a person were to tell you, Klum Yesh Evet Shemori Barabo, in other words, let's say a person were to question the validity of the Nevuah of Gogu Mago. They say, how could it possibly be that whole nations would, you know, would rebel against Hashem? So you can respond, Afla Toyam Orlo, Klum Yesh Ben Shemori Ba'aviv, is there a son who could rebel against his father? Elahava, Hachanami Hava. We know that that was true. We know that Avshalom did rebel against David. So if that's true, it must be that Gog u'Magog is also true. So in other words, Rabbi Avo's response to the Tzaduki was, you're right, chronologically, we should have put the story of Shaul first. There was some technical reason why we decided to put the Avshalom story first, which is to shed light on the validity of the Nevuah of Gog u'Magog. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. My dichsev, what does the pasuk mean in Mishlei when it says Pia Pascha v'chachma v'soras chesed alishona? Kineged mi Amar Shlomo mikra zeh? Corresponding to whom did Shlomo HaMelech recite this pasuk, or specifically the pesukim of Eishes Chayil? So the Gemara says Lo Amru Ela Kineged David Aviv Shedar b'chamisha olamim v'Amar Shira. So he says that pasuk is an allusion to David HaMelech's father, who lived in five worlds and sang Shira in all five of those worlds. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains what?
Is it feminine?
What feminine? Oh, the pasuk. I'm saying Eishes Chayil could be an allusion to Torah, to Hashem. It could be, to a lot of things. So the Gemara explains: Dar b'mei imo v'amar shira. So David, while in the womb, sang shira. Shenemar barchi nafshi es Hashem v'chol kiravai es shem kachos. So the word kiravai means the innards when he was still in the womb. Yotza la'avir ha'olam. Then he was born. V'nistakel b'kochavim u'mazalos. Right? He looked around at the world. V'amar shira. Shenemar baruchu Hashem malachav giborei choach osei dvaro l'shmo b'kol dvaro. Baruchu Hashem kol tzva'av. He praised all the legions and the stars and the moon, and everything else. Yonak mishteimo v'nistakel b'dadeha v'amar shira. He nursed from his mother and saw her breasts, and he's saying shira. Shenemar barchi nafshi es Hashem v'al tishkachi kol gmulav. Right? The word gmulav is related to the idea of nursing. My kol gmulav, amar Rabbi Avo, she'asala dadim bimkom bina. Right? The idea is that the breasts were made by the chest where the heart is, which is the place of intellect. So time, my, why were the breasts created over there? So amar Rabbi Huda, k'dei she'lo yistakel bimkom erva, so that you wouldn't look at
the chest, the place of intellect.
Because that's where the heart is. Right.
Heart is a place of intellect? No, it's a brain. Heart is emotion.
Well, the assumption is, I think the assumption is that the heart and the brain together, lead to what the thoughts being produced.
An expert opinion on that.
You could understand things out of your heart.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
your heart tells you
the idea.
This
yeah,
is the, this
that's
is
emotion. That's it, not a. That's
but,
not
but
intellect.
But it's bina.
The word bina, or from the word from the word havana, means to understand. So it could be maybe the heart gives you a deeper a deeper level of understanding than the brain does. Perhaps insight. Exactly. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why the breasts are over there is in order that a person does not look at the makom ha'erva. However, Rav Masna Amar, k'dei shelo yinak mimakom hatinofes. Let's say in contrast to animals, where the animals nurse from, let's say, the udder of the cow, which is by the makom ha'erva, so we dafka don't want that, so we put the breasts on top by the chest. So the Gemara says, Rabim Abhaltan Shah Rishaim Vamashir. Then David saw experience the downfall of the wicked, and he also saying Shirish and Emar, Yitamu Chataim in Aretz Rishaim Odinam, Barchinavshi is Hashem Haleluka. And then finally, Nistako Biyom Hamisa Vamashir, he saw the day of death, and saying Shirish and Emar, Barchinavshi is Hashem, Hashem Alokai Gadaltam Od, Hod Vahadar Lavashta. So the Gemara asks, my Mashma, how does that pasuk relate to the day of death? To Al Yom Hamisa Nemar, in other words, how do you know that pasuk is referring to death? Amar Rabba Barav Shila, Misefa Dinyan. If you look at the last half of that pasuk, they say, "Tastir panecha yibahilun tosef rucham yigvon." That Hashem turns His face away, and then tosef rucham yigvon, that your breath and your spirit ends up expiring and ends up dying. The Marsha has an interesting question on this Gemara, on one of the things that David sang Shira for, which was the downfall of the Rishayim. The question is: we know from multiple Gemaras that you're not supposed to sing Shira, you're not supposed to praise or be happy at the downfall of the Rishayim. So why is David singing Shira here? So the Marsha in Sanhedrin discusses this, and he cites the Gemara in Megillah that says that when the Mitzrayim were drowning in the Yamsuf, so the Malachim wanted to sing Shira, and Hashem said, no, you can't do that. So he seems to distinguish between Az Yashir Shira versus Halel. So there may be certain distinctions between what David was saying versus what the Malachim wanted to say. Okay, Rav Simi Bar Ukva v'Amri Lo Mar Ukva Havashchiach Kamei de Rav Shimon Ben Pazi. So whoever, either Rav Simi or Mar Ukva, they used to hang out with Rav Shimon Ben Pazi a lot. B'Havah Misader Agadata Kamei de Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. And the two of them used to arrange Agadata in front of Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. So Amar Le Ma'id Chsev Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'Chol Kravai Es Shem Kacho. What does the pasuk mean? Right, that we quoted before, that all my insides are going to praise the holy name of Hashem. Amar Le Bo Re Shelo Kemidas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midas Baser V'Dam. Midas Baser V'Dam Tzartzura Agabe Akosel Ve'Eno Yachol Lahatol Baruah. A regular person, if you draw an image on a wall, it's just a picture. You can't infuse life into the image. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only can draw an image, he can make an image within an image, a fetus inside of the womb of the mother, and give that life. What was that?
So can a man
Okay, that's true, but the assumption is that Kaddish Baruch Hu is the one who's
new.
Right. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Neder, that Hashem is the one facilitating the birth. V'haynu da'am rachana in kadosh kashem ki em botechav in tzur kelokenu. So what does that pasuk mean? My in tzur kelokenu, in sire kelokenu. There's no artist like our God. He's able to, you know, to, as we said, draw an image within an image and infuse it with life. My ki em botecha, amar Rav Yehuda bar Menasya al tikrei ki em botecha ela in levalo secha. There's no one who outlasts God. Shemoki midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu midas baser v'dam. Midas baser v'dam masa yada mevalen oso. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mevalem asav. Human beings typically will die before their creations dissipate. So if you create something that's supposed to be long-lasting, it will far outlive you, whereas God will far outlive the things or the people that he creates. So Amar Le Ana Hachi Kamin, this is what I meant to ask. Kamin Alecha. Hani Chamisha Barchi Nafshi Kenegin Mi Amran David. You know, corresponding to whom did David HaMelech recite the five Barchi Nafshis in Tehillim? Lo Amran Ela Kenegin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kenegin Neshama. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melo Chol HaOlam Af Neshama Melech Kol Aguf. Just as Hashem fills the world, so too the Neshama fills the body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roa Ve'eno Nira Af Neshama Roa Ve'eno Nira. It's just as Hashem sees but is not visible to others who are looking for him, the Neshama is the same way. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zana Es Kol HaOlam Kulo Af Neshama Zana Es Kol Aguf. Just as Hashem satiates the entire world, so too the Neshama satiates the body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tahor Af Neshama Tahora Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chadri Chadarim Af Neshama Yosheves B'Chadri Chadarim. Right, it also sits in this inner chamber inside of your heart. Yavo Misha Yishbo Chamisha Dvar Malalu V'Yishabeach L'Misha Yishbo Chamisha Dvar Malalu. The one who has these five traits in the form of the Neshama should come and praise God who has these five traits as well. Amar Rav Hanuna, Ma'idich said, what is the passage in?
You really use something amorphous as a soul to be Tahor. You know, usually you have to talk something tangible. You
okay,
know?
I mean,
you
we say
talk about anything.
We say it every morning. Elokai Neshama Shenasat Ani Tahorahi. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know what it means practically because, yeah. But yeah, we ask Hashem to restore the Neshama every day. So Amar Rav Hanuna, Ma'idich Siv, Mikahe Chacham Umiyodeh Peshir Davar. It's a pasuk from Kohelet. The pasuk says, who is like the Chacham and who knows the resolution of the matter? So Mikahe Kadosh Baruch Hu Sheyodeh Lasos Pshara Bein Shnei Tzadikim Bein Chizkiyahu LeYeshayahu. That only Hashem was able to figure out how to make a resolution between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. Chizkiyahu Amar Leisei Yeshayahu Gabay Dehachi Ashkacham BeEliyahu DeAzal Gabay Achad. So Chizkiyahu wanted Yeshayahu to come visit him. He says because we found a precedent for such a thing that Eliyahu HaNavi went to go and visit Achav HaMelech. So Chizkiyahu was the king, Yeshayahu was the Navi. So Chizkiyahu insisted, I'm the king, Yeshayahu the Navi should come to me, just like Eliyahu the Navi came to visit Achav. On the other hand, Yeshayahu Amar, no, Leisei Chizkiyahu Gabay, Chizkiyahu should come to me. The Hachi Ashkacham Yehoram ben Achav, the Azal Gabay Elisha. Yehoram, who was the Melech, he went to Elisha, who was the Navi. So Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hevi Yisurim al Chizkiyahu. He brought these terrible afflictions on Chizkiyahu. V'amar lo leYeshayahu lechu vakeres achola sheneemar bayamim lahim chola Chizkiyahu lamus vayavo ilav Yeshayahu venamot anavi vayomer ilav ko amar Hashem tzav leveisecha ki meisa tov velo sechia. Basically, Yeshayahu comes to Chizkiyahu when he's very ill. He says, "You are not going to survive this illness." And so the Gemara asks, "My ki meisa tov velo sechia?" That lashon is repetitive. Why does it say you're not? It says that you're going to die and you're not going to live. Meisa tov beolam hazeh velo sechia liolam haba. Not only are you going to die in this world, but you're going to lose your share in olam haba. So Amar Lei, my Kulei Hai, Chizkiyahu says, what did I do that was so bad to deserve that, you know, losing my share in Olam Haba? So Amar Lei, so Yeshayahu said to him, Mishum Deloa Sakta Bepiri of Arivia. You didn't engage in the mitzvah of having children. So Amar Lei says, no, but there was a reason why I didn't do that. Mishum Dechazai Li Beruach HaKodesh, Denafki Minai Benin Delomalu. You know why I didn't do that? Because I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that I would have children who were not fit, who were not good children. In fact, he ends up having Menashe, who was one of the worst kings of Klal Yisrael. Right. So he says, that's why I didn't engage in Pruravu. So Amar Lei, so Yeshayahu responds to him, Bahadik Hashid. What are you doing looking into the secrets of God? Hashem told you to engage in a mitzvah. So forget about all of your cheshbonos, all of your ruach hakodesh. You do the mitzvah and let God take care of the rest. So he says, that's your fault that you didn't engage in peruvu. No, despite the fact that you knew you were going to have children who were rishon. So Amar Lei, so now Chizkiyahu responds to Yeshayahu, Havli bratach, efshar degar meschusa di divi didach, v'nafkim inai benin demalu. Give me your daughter's hand in marriage, and then maybe as a result, between my and your schus, I could actually have kids who are not going to be evil. So Amar Lei, no, it's too late. Kfar nigzer alecha gzera. It's too late. Hashem already goes there, already decreed that you're going to die and that your kids are going to be evil. So Amar Lei ben Amotz, kalei nevuas chavetzei. He says, you know, basically, take your nevuah and get out of here. Kach mekublani mi beis avi abba, afilu cheru chad munachas at savaro shaladim al yimna atzma min arachamim. Right? We have a tradition that even when the sword is on your neck, you should never give up hope from being saved. You should constantly daven. It marnami, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer, damri travayu, afilu even as I'm being killed, I still hope that Hashem will come and save me. Amar Rabbi Chanan, afilu bala chalomos omer lo la'adam l'machar humeins al yimna atzma min arachamim. Shana emar, ki verov chalomos v'havalim u'dvarim harbe ki es ha'elokim yira. And a similar idea that even if a guy who knows how to interpret dreams tells you that tomorrow you're going to die, you should never give up hope, because the Pasuk in Kohelet says that a lot of dreams that a person have are just meaningless, they're just futile dreams. All you need to do is fear Hashem. In other words, any dreams that you have, even if they scare you or they seem to portend something evil is going to happen, it doesn't matter, you should just still trust in Hashem. Miyad, v'yasiv Chizkiyahu panav el akir v'yispalel Hashem. Once Chizkiyahu heard all of this, he turned his face to the wall and he dove into Hashem. So asks the Gemara, Mike here, what does it mean, he turned to the wall? So Amar Roshon ben Lakish, Mikiros Libo, Shinamar Me'ai Ochilo Kiros Libi. It means that he dove in from the depths of his heart. Rabbi Levi Amar al Iske Hakir. He was referring to the matter regarding the wall. So what does that mean? Amar Lefan Ribono Shalom. Umashunamis, Shalowasta Ela Kir Achas Ktana Hachayesa as Bina. Remember, this was the story with Elisha, with the Isha Hashunamis after her son died and Elisha brought him back to life. The only reason why her son came back to life was in the merit of her giving a tiny little room in her attic to Elisha to stay in. That wall was the thing that saved her son. So Aviaba, Shechipa Esahich Al Kulo Bechesef Uvizav Alachas Kama Vechama. My grandfather Shlomo HaMelech, who coated the entire Beis HaMikdash with gold and silver, certainly that should be enough of a merit to spare me. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Zechar na'is asher esalachti lefanecha ve'emes uvelev shalem b'hatov ve'enecha asisi. So Chizkiyahu was reminding Hashem, so to speak, of all the good things that he had done. So my v'hatov ve'enecha asisi, what exactly was he referring to? So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, shesamach ge'ula l'tfila, which again we've spoken a lot about before, right? The idea of being somach ge'ula l'tfila. So some of the Rishonim ask, why was this such a big deal? Everyone is somach ge'ula l'tfila. Why is this something that should set Chizkiyahu apart from everybody else? So the Rishonim point out the idea that Tosos on the previous daf and daf test mentioned that maybe he was so mekul latila kivasikin, afasikin. So if you do it afasikin, so Tosos already pointed out on yesterday's daf that that's a form of protection. That's why the Gemara on yesterday's daf said that Bruna used to smile all day because he was so mekul latila. Tosos said that he did it afasikin. So maybe that was the thing that Chizkiyahu used to do. And then the second thing is Rabbi Levi Amar Shagana Sefer Refuah. This is a famous idea from the Gemara in Pesachim that Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid the book of Refuah. What does that mean exactly? So they used to have some kind of a medicinal book out there, and Chizkiyahu felt that people were too reliant on the medicine and they weren't trusting enough in Hashem, and therefore he felt it appropriate to hide that book. So those were one of the two possible things that Chizkiyahu did that were so commendable. Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Asa Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Al Gimel Hodulo, V'Al Gimel Lo Hodulo. Chizkiyahu did six things, three of which the Chachamim agreed with, and three of which they did not. Al Gimel Hodulo, Ganaz Sefer Refuos Hodulo. So like we just said, he hid this book of Refuos, and the Chachamim agreed with him. Kites Nechasha Nechoshes V'Hodulo, right? That was from Parshas Chukas, when Moshe made that copper snake, right? So, that, eventually he realized that people were worshipping the copper snake as opposed to davening to Hashem, so he ground it up and destroyed it, and the Chachamim also, also consented to that. And Girar Atzmos Aviv Al Mito Shel Chavalim V'Hodulo. He dragged the bones of his father on some kind of a sack through the street, which the Chachamim also were okay with because his father was a Rasha. Right? His father was Menashe, so he was a Rasha. So as a result, they were totally fine with. I'm sorry, his father was Achaz. That's why they were okay with him dragging his father's bones through the street. Then finally, Val Gimel Lo Hodulo. There were three things for which the Chachamim did not agree with him. So Sasa Megichon Velo Hodulo. He plugged up the waters of the Me'ashiloach, which is the river that flows outside of the Beis Hamikdash. And the reason why he did that was basically because he didn't want the king of Ashur, the king of Assyria, to be able to have access to water, and that ended up leading to eventually the Khorban, because he essentially redirected all the water from the area of the Mikdash. The second thing was Kitzetz Dalsos Heichal v'Shigrul Melech Ashur below Hodlo. He cut off the walls of the Heichal and sent them as a gift to the king of Ashur, which also the Chachamim were not happy with. And then finally, Avar Nisan b'Nisan v'lo Hodlo. He made the month of Nisan into a leap year. Now, normally, when you want to make a year into a leap year, you have to double what? Oh, I have Avar here. Iber, whatever it is. So in other words, he declared the month of Nisan to be basically like Nisan Beis instead of Adar Beis, right? So the Gemara says that the Chacham did not agree with him because normally you need to do two Adars, not two Nisans. So the Gemara asks, "Umi leisle lechizkiyo achodesh azel lachem rosh chadashim zen Nisan vein acher Nisan." How could Chizkiyahu make such a mistake? Everyone knows that there's a halacha that the month of Nisan has to be the month of Nisan. You can't double up the month of Nisan, right? So in other words, normally the only year that you're allowed to double up, the only month you can double is Adar. So what was the justification? In other words, why did Chizkiyahu even think that this was okay? So the Gemara says, Ela ta'ab b'dishmuel. He made a mistake about the following statement of Shmuel. To Amr Shmuel, E ma'abr nes ha'shana b'yom shloshim shaladar ho'o v'roi l'kovo nisan, sabar ho'o v'roi lo amrinan. So Shmuel says that on the 30th day of Adar, you can no longer declare it a leap year anymore. It's too late, even though technically it's still Adar, it's too late to declare it a leap year, since that day could theoretically be Rosh Chodesh Nisan also. So therefore, so Chizkiyahu disagreed with that statement of Shmuel. He thought, no, he said, even on the 30th day of Adar, you can still make it into a leap year. That was the point of contention between him and the Chachamim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Kol hatola b'schus ha'atzmo, tolin lo b'schus ha'chirim, v'chol hatola b'schus ha'chirim, tolin lo b'schus ha'atzmo. Anyone who makes something dependent on their own merits, well, Hashem will make it dependent on the merits of others, and anyone who tries to make things dependent on the merit of others, Hashem will make it dependent on his own merits. So the Gemara explains. Moshe tala b'schus ha'chirim, shenemar zechor la'avraham li'itzchak u'li'yisrael avadecha. So Moshe made his tefillah dependent on the avos, tolin lo b'schus ha'atzmo, shenemar, v'yomer la'hashminim lulei Moshe v'chiro, amar b'peres lefanav l'hashem. In Tehillim, Hashem says that he says that if not for Moshe's tefillos, I would have wiped out Klal Yisrael after the eagle. So even though Moshe wanted to make the salvation of Klal Yisrael dependent on the avos, Hashem ultimately made it dependent on Moshe himself. In contrast, Chizkiyahu tala b'schus atzmo d'chsev zechor na'is asher hisalachti lefanecha. Chizkiyahu was trying to prop himself up. He was telling Hashem, remember all the good things that I did. Either, you know, he was so mechgul at tefillat pasikin, or he hid the book of refus or whatever it was. But tala b'schus achirim shenemar v'ganosi aloir azos lahoshia lema'ani uleman David avdi. But Hashem responded and said, I'm only going to spare the city not because of you, Chizkiyahu, but rather because of David Hamelach. V'hainu de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Dom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ma'i dechsev, Hinei l'shalom mar li mar, that the Pasuk says that, you know, for me, peace is bitter. Afilu b'sha sheshigir lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom mar hu lo. Even when Hashem sends him peaceful, you know, tidings, it was still bitter because Hashem associated that peace to the city with David HaMelech as opposed to Chizkiyahu. Okay, so the Pasuk then said, Na'ase no alias kir ktana, right? This is what the Isha Hashunamis did for Elisha, right? She made for him this, you know, this room and with a lamp and with a bed and whatever it was. So the Gemara says, one opinion says it was this open room that she put a roof on top of. She had this like really large open area that she, you know, basically divided in half and gave half of the room to Elisha. So Bishlam Alaman Amar Achsadra Hainu Dichsiv Kir. So in other words, I understand if we're dealing with this large room that she divided in half, so it makes sense why the Pasuk uses the word here as referring to a wall. But El Lamanda Amar Aliyah Mike here. But if you think it was just this little room in the attic that she put a roof on, what does the word kir? What does the word wall have to do with anything? But it says no sheker vua. The word kir here means that she, you know, that she put a roof on top of the room. So Bishlam Lamanda Amar Aliyah Hainu Dichsev Aliyas El Lamanda Amar Achsadr My Aliyas Meula Shebebatim. The Gemara says, and if you think that it was this room that it was this larger room as opposed to a room in the attic, so when the pasuk says the word Aliyas Kir Ktana, the word Aliyas means that it was like Meula Shebebatim, the best house. The best, exactly right. Okay, then it says, "V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'chisim." All right, there are all these, you know, amenities basically that were in the room. Right, there was a bed and there was a lamp and a chair, whatever. So Amar Abaye v'itim Rav Yitzchak. Harotza lehanos yehana ke Elisha v'she'ino rotza lehanos al yehana ke Shmuel haramasi shenemar u'tshuvasu haramasa ki sham beiso v'am Rabbi Yochanan shekol makom shehalach sham beiso imo. Basically, the Gemara says that let's say you have a person who's very wealthy, but they're traveling. The assumption was that, you know, back in the day when you're traveling, even if you have a lot of money, you don't have basic amenities with you. You don't have access to like a bed or to chairs or whatever unless you're staying somewhere. So someone like Elisha, even though he was well off, but he still needed the help of the Isha Hashunamis to have access to a bed and to a chair and to a lamp, etc. So if a person wants to benefit from another person, you can do so like Elisha. In other words, you can benefit with the basic amenities. You shouldn't take more than that if you don't need to. You should just rely on the basic things. Whereas Shmuel was so wealthy, he was even wealthier than Elisha, that even while on the road, the Gemara says, Shakol makum shahalach sham beiso imo. He basically took his house, you know, took his house with him wherever he went. So he never needed to rely on the chesed of anybody else because he always had access to everything that he had, even when he was traveling. Shmuel Anavi, yeah. Okay. Then the pasuk says, "Vatomer Elisha, hinei no yodati ki isha lokim kadoshu." So the Isha Hashunami says to her husband, "I know that this man, that Elisha, is a godly man." So Amar Rabbi Yosi Barabbi Chanina, "Mikan shel isha makeres boorchin yoser menayish." So women typically know more about their guests than men do. The Marsha says because women are home more, so they're just more sensitized to their guests. Then the Marsha says, "Kadoshu menayada." How did she know that he was holy? So Rav Shmuel Charam or Shalurah. So Zvuv over al Shulchan. No, there was never a fly that flew over his table when he was eating. V'charamar sudden shall pishtan he'd see al mitaso v'lo ro'asa carry Allah, that she put these, you know, wool, these linen sheets on, and he never had an emission on the sheets. kadoshu. Am Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Hu kadosh umeshar so eno kadosh. And Amar vayagish gechazi lohadfa. Am Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Sheachsa bahur yafya. Yes, Elisha himself was a holy man, but his assistant, his servant Gechazi, was not, because the pasuk says that when the isha hashunamis came back to Elisha to daven to bring her kid back to life, Gechazi pushed her. That's what the pasuk literally means. But the Gemara says that he grabbed her bahod yafya, which basically means by her breast. So he wasn't, you know, he was doing that obviously in an inappropriate fashion. So in the pasuk is contrasting the behavior of Elisha to the behavior of Gechazi. Then the pasuk says over aleinu tamid. Right, this is what the isha hashunamis says to her husband. Right, Elisha is always passing by. In other words, he's always, you know, coming through our little room in the attic. Am Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Kol ha-me'areach Talmud Chacham besoch beso u'mahanehu minechasav. Anyone who basically invites a Talmud Chacham to be a guest in their house and lets them benefit from their possessions. Ma'ala olav ha-kasav kilu makriv tamidin. We consider it as if you offered the carbon tamid. V'am Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Al yamur adam bimkom gavoa v'yispala. A person should not stand in a high, elevated location in Davin. Elo bimakom namoch v'yispala. Rather, you should be in a low location. Shenemar, mimamakim kirasicha Hashem. Right, the pasuk from Tehillim. Right, you have to daven from the depths. Tain yam yachi, lo yamur adam lo agabi kisei, v'lo agabi tzrafraf, v'lo bimakom gavoa v'yispalel. Elo bimakom namoch v'yispalel. Lefi she'in gavos lefnei hamakom, shenemar mimamakim kirasicha Hashem, uchsev, tfilo lo anichiyato. So in other words, the reason why it's inappropriate to daven in a very high place is because it shows a sense of arrogance. When you daven in front of Hashem, you have to lower yourself. V'amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Hamispalo Tzarech Sheyechavin Es Raglav Shenemar V'Raglehem Regel Yeshara. In the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, when the Pesukim described the Nevuah that Yecheskel sees of Hakadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim, it says that their feet were together. So this is the idea that when you daven Shemona Esrei, your feet have to be together. The Marsha also points out that when you're davening, your hands should be together like this, should cup together, just like an Eved who's in front of his master.
That okay, reminds yeah. me of the Israel Museum when they yeah. had that old shul. They recreated from, they took from Europe, the Amud.
Yeah.
It's like in a well.
Yeah.
Bell's a shulchan aruch.
If you look in the shulchan aruch, it's pretty clear that's the way the bimas are supposed to be. They're supposed to be a little dip.
Recessed.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly.
The big bell.
What was that? Arishul. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
You're going up there. It's like. So,
yeah.
Have you been to yeah. Shul, the 5,000
seater? Yeah. Okay. So skipping the parentheses. V'amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. My dichsei, the pasuk says lo sochlu al adam. The Torah says there's an isur de oraisa to eat the blood of an animal. So what does this pasuk actually mean? Lo sochlu kodem shetispalu al damcham. This is the famous source that a person is not allowed to eat before they daven. There's a whole discussion about the parameters of this. The Rambam seems to assume that this is actually an isur de oraisa to eat before you daven. But even if you think, but even if you think that it's not, so the assumption is that it's, as we'll see in a second in the Gemara, it's considered a form of arrogance to eat before you daven. Obviously, if a person is ill, and let's say, for example, it's Rosh Hashanah, or it's a Yontif, it's a long davening, and you won't be able to daven properly if you don't eat something, that's different. Also, the Mishnah Berurah discusses maybe coffee, maybe tea, maybe if you don't add sugar, maybe if you put a sugar cube in your mouth, there are all these different, you know, distinctions about what and how you can eat before davening. But it's pretty clear from this Gemara that, in general, if you don't need to, you should not be eating before davening. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kol Ochel V'Shosev Achar Kach Mispalel, anyone who eats and drinks and then davens, Alav HaKasuv Omer about them, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, V'Osi Hishlachta Acharei Gevecha. Hashem says about this person that they've thrown me behind his back. Al Tikre Gevecha Ela Geyecha, meaning that the person is priding himself, he's acting in an arrogant fashion. Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'achar Shenizgazeh Kiva Olav Malchus Shemayim. After this guy acted arrogantly by basically eating and drinking before davening, he's now going to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. By davening, it's crazy. You have to make sure that you're in the right frame of mind, that you daven first, and only then can you eat and drink afterwards. Rabbi Yoshua Omer HaShalosh Shos. Going back to the Mishnah, the Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Yoshua, the latest time to say Shema in the morning is until the third hour. Omer Rabbi Yoshua Shmuel, Halacha Ker Rabbi Yoshua, which is fortunate for a lot of people, because otherwise, if that wasn't the case, then we would follow Rabbi Eliezer, where the latest time for davening Shema is Vesikin, which doesn't really affect this minion so much, at least not this time of year, but for other people, it might affect them. HaKori Mikan Ve'ilach Lohis. The Mishnah said if a person says Shema after the third hour, so they don't lose anything. So Amar So yes, you could say Shema after the third hour, but you can no longer recite the brachos of Yotzor and Avarabah afterwards. So the Gemara says, Meisve Hakori Mikan Ve'ilach Lo Hifsid Kadem Shehu Kori BaTorah Avom Mevarich Ushtaim Lefanah Viachas Liachareha Tiyufta Derav Chista Tiyufta. This brisa says explicitly that yes, it's true that I can no longer be Yotze the mitzvah of Shema after 3 hours, right? But I can still recite the brachos. So isn't that against what we just said a second ago? Gemara says no. Ika Da Amrei Amar Rav Chista Amar Marukva Ma'ilu Hifsid Shelo Hifsid Brachos. When the Mishnah says that you don't lose lose anything, it doesn't mean that, you know, that I'm just not Yotzei Shema, which you already know. It means that you're not losing anything by reciting the brachos even after the third hour. Tam nam yachi hakori mikan ve'ilach lo hivsid ka'adim shakori b'torah al mevarich u'shtayim lefaneh v'yachas li'acharei. In other words, in Echanami, you could still recite those brachos after the third hour.
I'm bound to those brachos if you don't have a chiyuv to say the Shema.
If you're no longer chayim Shema.
Right, so what kind
good.
Of brachos?
So the chiddush of the Gemara is, for some reason, and the Rishonim discussed why this should be, that the brachos, to a certain extent, are somewhat independent of Shema. Meaning, we call them birchos kriya Shema, but the brachos can stand on their own as well. So in other words, as the Gemara itself says over here, the time frame for Shema and the time frame for the brachos of Shema are different, which means that by definition they're not inextricably linked to each other, right? So the Gemara is assuming
you have three hours for Shema,
not for the brachos. The brachos, the Gemara is assuming that you have maybe for 4 hours or maybe till Chatzos. That's a separate issue, right?
What's
the halacha? Yeah, the halacha is that you could technically still recite the brachos after the third hour. Even for Shema, there's a discussion about this, because the Chachamim say you could say Shema till Chatzos, right? So potentially b'di'evit you might still be able to say Shema anyway, but we assume that definitely at least until Chatzos you could say the brachos, even if you hold that you can no longer say Shema. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Amar of Mani, Gadol Hakori Kriya Shema be'onasa Yosher Mehaosek b'Torah. One who recites Shema in the proper time is greater than one who learns Torah. How do we know that? Midiktane Hakori Mikan Ve'ilach Lo Hefsid Ke'odam Hakori b'Torah Michlal Dekori be'onasa Adiv. What does the Mishnah say? That if a guy reads Shema after the proper time, it's just like he's reading Pesukim from Chumash, right? It's like he's learning Torah. So the implication is that learning Torah is not as significant as reading Shema in the proper time. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Beishama, for Shema, for the brachos.
Shema.
The proper time for Shema is the third hour. Lechadchila. We pass in the Bidiyevit. If you didn't say Shema at the third hour, you could say it until Chatzos. In terms of the brachos, so even lechadchila, you could say it until Chatzos. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Beishama yomrim, but erev kol adam yatev yikra uva boker yamut shenemar v'shach b'chav kumecha. Beishama took the pasuk of b'shach b'chav kumecha literally. He said, when you say Shema at night, you should be b'shach b'chav. You should be in a state of, you know, lying down on your side. Whereas in the morning, you should be standing up when you say it. No, kol adam kori kedarko shenemar v'lach t'chav adarech. Beisola says, no, you should just say Shema however you want. Just say it normally, both by day and by night, because it says v'lach t'chav adarech. So I am king, lama nemar v'shach b'chav kumecha. How does Beisola interpret the pasuk of b'shach b'chav kumecha? It means, it's not talking about a position in which you recite Shema, but rather a time of day or, you know, or night in which you're saying Shema. One time I was traveling and it was the nighttime and I wanted to say Shema like Beishamai, so I sat down and, you know, I leaned on my side and I was almost killed from these armed robbers who attacked me. You deserve to die almost because you violated the words of Beis Hillel that we passed in line. Okay, let's go ahead.
The third hour.